Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this choke horse. But it's no Hulk bar, middle finger like a Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? It is We Too Deep. We are back with another episode of the Slapping Mead Wrestling Podcast. I mentioned on Friday's episode that we would start doing Sunday episodes, and then I gave the time period frame of, like, you know, maybe starting in April. Well, I wanted to give you all a little taste, and I've been giving y'all a taste of what three episodes a week, you know, may or may not look like over the last couple weeks. And so definitely starting in April, it'll be every week. And I don't imagine that we'll do a whole lot more of these in the month of March on Sundays. But there is something that I do want to talk about, and that is SmackDown. I want to talk to SmackDown, and then we are going to do a react to that as well. I'm very intrigued on how people will take to this. And so with that being said, let's dive on in. We're going to talk about SmackDown first, but before we get to SmackDown, let's do let's go ahead and start this the way we always start every show, which is go check out WWE Shop. Use our link, our affiliate link in the description of this episode, and you can get yourself some merch and at the same time help the podcast out a little bit by supporting by using that link. With that being said as well, you can use the Expedia link as well. And same thing. You'll go to the Expedia link, you'll purchase like you normally would, and excuse me, we'll get a small percentage of that purchase. All right. And one final housekeeping thing here. It is March the 16th, also known as 316 Day. So in the comments, give me a hell yeah if you're ready to hear me break down Friday Night SmackDown. Give my thoughts on it. And with that, let's just stop with the games here. Let's just, I've sort of done a really long intro here, a little bit of stalling on my behalf because I forgot to, get this, the react to that. I forgot to, before I started recording, to upload it to the software that I use to record. So I've sort of been stalling while I'm getting that done. And now that that is done, we can jump on in, excuse me, to the program here and talk about SmackDown. Now, I'm not going to talk about SmackDown segment by segment. And that's not how I will personally review shows. Even someone like JD from NY, which I've started to watch his streams in my free time. It's unfortunate that I can't tell him how much I appreciate him, because apparently he blocked me several years ago on X. Don't know why. Don't remember this happening. I don't remember having conversations with the guy. But apparently I've been blocked by him. It is what it is. He's not unique in that. I've been blocked by Cornette and a whole bunch of other people. So it is what it is. But I do appreciate a lot of what he said. But even he reviews it segment by segment and sort of gives like notes of him breaking it down. And I can't react and review shows that way. I'm just going to ask questions and give my thoughts on segments, right? And that's what I want to do with this episode of SmackDown. So the first question that I have is, as casual fans, right? A lot of us sit here and say we watch wrestling for the storyline, right? And I'm very interested to see, you know, there's a reason why a lot of times I don't say something or I wait to say something until I hear how Dirty D or Notorious Dirty D or Nerdy D says what he wants to say on a show, because I feel like he is the king of casuals when it comes to the podcast world, right? I'm a little bit more hardcore in terms of like, I'm a casual fan, but I feel like in the terms of, I always say viewership or fandom is a spectrum, and I've said this before, he's a little bit closer to casual than I am, right? In terms of like far right casual, he's closer to he's farther right than me on the spectrum is what I'm trying to say, right? And so I tend to view wrestling where I'm sort of in the middle of the spectrum, where I would consider myself casual, but I also understand the perspective of the IWC, because I've been on that side of the spectrum before. This weather killing me. North Carolina weather kills me this time of the year, for those wondering. Because the weather makes up its mind. It's 30 degrees when you wake up. It's 80 degrees in the afternoon. It rains all the time. It pollens everywhere. The weather in North Carolina in the spring absolutely sucks. So this, I don't know what's going on, but just ignore it. All right. But so we sit and so Dirty D loves, you know, I want to hear what he says about this particular segment. I want to see what his thoughts on it are. And this is the Axiom versus Gunther match. Because we sit here and we talk about all the time as casual fans that we watch wrestling for the storyline, right? And that's what we watch for, right? And let me tell you something. From a match perspective, this is 100% the best match of the week. Probably could be, you know, if this was on a PLE, could have been match of the year contender, right? It was a very good match that took place on SmackDown. But if we're casual fans and we watch for storyline, this is where the question comes in. What is the actual storyline reason for Gunther versus Axiom to take place, in which Jey Uso doesn't come out at all? Gunther is on SmackDown for some reason, breaking through the transfer window, which I guess they forgot to lock and fully close, because now Gunther's on SmackDown for no reason whatsoever in story, right? In story. And that's my issue with wrestling booking, is if we're going to do things in story, then we can't just do something for, right? Because this is my hot take of the week. this episode of SmackDown and what I believe the next five episodes of WWE TV will be, the next three Raws and the next two SmackDowns as they do their European tour, I believe those episodes will all be house shows disguised as TV shows. I'm not very confident that outside of John Cena segment and outside of Roman Reigns segment next week on Cena tomorrow on Monday and Reigns on Friday, I'm not very confident that we're going to get a lot of story in the mid card. I'm not confident that even something like Gunther or Jay, you know, gets pushed. This match happened. Gunther versus Axiom happened solely because, one, Axiom's from Spain where they were in. And this is two European wrestlers in Europe to have a match. It was a match for the sake of having a match, not for the sake of telling a story. And while I can sit here and say I enjoyed the match, it was one of the better matches of the year so far. Arguably better than anything we saw on AEW's last pay-per-view. Right? Arguably. I'm not going to sit here and say for certain, but arguably. My concern with this is that it doesn't lead to anything. It doesn't lead me to WrestleMania. Jey Uso doesn't come out at all to make a save on Axiom or to distract Gunther. It's just a random match for the sake of having a match, which is what we're supposed to let Jacksonville do, right? AEW is supposed to do that type of booking. WWE is supposed to be storyline-driven booking, and this is what I've been saying about Triple H. Guys, Tony Khan and Triple H are very similar in how they book. I've been telling you that for what feels like 6 months at this point, if not longer. Tony Khan and Triple H book very, very, very similar. Tournaments, matches for the sake of matches to fill time because I don't have a plan on certain things. Random title changes on weekly television. Eight-man matches, triple threat matches, random six-man tag team matches. Triple H books very similar on the week to week as Tony Khan, and where they both excel is when it gets to the pay-per-view or the PLE, then you put on this banger show, right? And we got to call balls and strikes here. If I'm going to be super picky with AEW, I'm going to be super picky with WWE. And this, from a storyline perspective, had zero reason to take place. Again, I'm not going to say the match was awful, but it had zero reason from a storyline point of view to happen. This doesn't push Jay versus Gunther story to WrestleMania. And I'm not okay with that type of booking. I'm just not. Right? Because if you gave me, if you, especially with the next essentially 3 weeks being in Europe, if every single one of those shows is just, let's give the fans some big match to cheer for. Right? Which brings me to another point about the crowd, because I know this is a topic that a lot of people love to bring up, right? You immediately saw on the live streams and in Twitter posts and all of this, oh, this year the European crowd puts American crowds to shame. I'm tired of this argument because it's like people don't recognize that different cultures, different places on the in the world react differently, or you know, the American audience is very different than the European audience, and both are very different from the Japanese audience, and those are different from the Latina Mexican audience, right? The Lucha audience. The American audience, for the most part, requires, like, you have to earn their reaction, right? And you have to earn their reaction. Whereas the European crowd, they will force a reaction, right? And so we've seen these European shows where they chant and they cheer the whole show. It doesn't even have to make any sense what they're chanting, right? And they treat everything sort of like it's a footy game or soccer game, right? The American crowd, for the most part, you have to earn a reaction. And that's sort of where I'm at as well. Like, I'm not just going to cheer for the sake of cheering, especially these stupid songs and chants at the European crowd. You know, if the show gets boring, they'll just hijack the show by chanting. That tends to annoy me, right? And so, but my fear is as we do this European tour, I think two things could happen. One, I think that Triple H could use the overhyping of the crowd reacting just because that's how the crowd reacts in Europe, and display that and use it as a trick to say, well, there's a lot of hype heading into WrestleMania, when really there's really not that much hype on some of these matches, right? Gunther versus Jay really has slowed down in terms of, like, you had Jay win Royal Rumble. Like, 2 weeks after that, he, you know, we're beginning of February, middle February, he picks Gunther. And now we're a month later in the middle of March, a month out from Mania. And there's not a lot of energy being built into that story. There's not a lot of energy being built into Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte, right? And so some of these stories, I feel, are going to be very flat when we get to Mania, and they're going to hype them up with this crowd and make it feel like they're hyped, when really, in reality. And so this is why I titled the show Hot Crowd, but it's a mid show, right? And this is why I've always said, I don't allow the crowd to manipulate my thoughts on the programming being shown, right? I believe it was the paper or the PLE Bad Blood, where me and Wavy D, we did our review show, and he said that, you know, he talked about the crowd being mid, and it was a bad crowd, and that it maybe because he watched it alone and not in the Discord, and the crowd sucked and wasn't behind it. And I said, and my argument was, I didn't even pay attention to the crowd. I had no recognition of it. Here's why. The crowd is not the product, right? The only thing that I watched the show for, right, they could wrestle, go back to pandemic era wrestling and wrestle in front of literally nobody, and I could care less. You could wrestle in front of nobody, pipe and sound, and it wouldn't change the way I feel about a product, because what I'm watching is the matches and the stories being told on television, not the crowd. We can't allow the crowd to manipulate the way we feel about the storylines. And I feel that's what Triple H is going to try to get the fans to do. And I feel a lot of casual fans are going to be manipulated into thinking that the product is very good. And it's just not, right? So then we can go back into, again, there was no storyline purpose for Gunther versus Axiom, but the crowd was hot and we got a good match. And so that people will say that this is a good segment. But from a storyline perspective, why did this happen, right? There are certain questions you have to ask in stories. Who, when, why, how, right? There are storyline questions, right? And the why is the most important. And when you're telling a story, why is this happening? What is the reason? And if you don't have one, this is just filler. It's not a plot point, and it's completely useless. And now you just wasted Axiom's debut on SmackDown to lose in a match in his hometown, when you could have easily had Fraxium on the same show and debut in 6 months after they drop the titles after Stand and Deliver, have them debut in 6 months and have Fraxium be one of the hottest teams in your tag team, a division in which we will talk about at the end of this breakdown. So I just don't see the reason why we needed to have this match if there wasn't anything within the story that mattered. Right? So the second thing is that I want to talk about is Charlotte versus Tiffany, right? So you had B-Fab fight Charlotte in a match. And in a match that I feel like, again, there's only so much you can do within the realms of the character in the story you're telling. And if they stopped trying to get Tiffany Stratton to be this sympathy character, there was a very easy way you could have put over not just the story, but put over B-Fab as well and have B-Fab get the win in this match. I think there's a way where if Tiffany Stratton, right, if it's a battle of who can, you know, do, you know, who's the baddest bitch, which is what this should be. It's not, but that's what it should be. And you've had a couple weeks of Charlotte Flair one-upping Tiffany Stratton. What should have happened, how I would have booked this, was during this match, had Tiffany Stratton come out and distract Charlotte in some way, and where B-Fab can get a roll-up victory, beat Charlotte Flair, a big victory for B-Fab, which then would make sense for why a brawl would happen outside of, oh, Tiffany comes out to make the save because Charlotte wouldn't let go of the submission, which is a trope that WWE consistently does and is nothing new, right? When was the last time that happened where we're like, oh yeah, they're just going to hold on to the submission. A baby face is going to come out and it, right. And then So the issue with this story is that there's no story. Can Charlotte Flair actually, this feud right here is really changing my mind on Charlotte Flair as being the greatest of all time. It really is. Cause part of me is willing to say that I no longer think Charlotte, as an overall wrestler, is the greatest of all. When was the last story Charlotte was ever in where it was storyline driven in the feud, right? I would have to say it would have been Lacey Evans, right? That was the last story that I can remember Charlotte being in, was against Lacey Evans, when Lacey Evans was essentially like messing around with old Ric Flair being taken to the top of the mountain, right? And even then that wasn't good. Now that it wasn't good for other reasons, very bad reasons. Like it was just a bad premise to begin with. But Charlotte is not very good at the storytelling aspect of wrestling. She's very good at the wrestling part of wrestling. She's not the best on the mic, and she's really hard. Like, I don't really know what Charlotte's character is. And part of me is willing to go back to that clip I showed of Stevie Richards a few weeks ago and saying, I think Stevie was right. Charlotte should have come back as the babyface, as the sympathy heel of, I've missed 2 years of my career. Look at my rehab. I fought and scratched to stay where I am, and this is my opportunity to regain my spot at the top of the card. And part of me is believing that's how they should have brought Charlotte back in, with this bad bitch Tiffany Stratton standing in her way, trying to push the old guard out. That should have been the story. Now that I'm looking at it, that should have been the story. But the response would be, well, Tiffany gets crowd reaction, and Charlotte's a natural heel, which is fine. But even in that sense, if we're going to have Charlotte play the heel, this should have just been two bad bitches fighting for the top of the mountain. And Charlotte wants her spot back, and Tiffany's not going to let her have it, right? And that should have been the story. Instead, we get, I don't even know what we're getting. Like, there's zero momentum with this story in and of itself. And then we do the brawl, but there seems like, guys, I feel like there's a brawl every week on Raw or SmackDown. This trope is overplayed. I sort of like get annoyed when I see these brawls now that last like 30 minutes, it feels like, and it takes like 4 or 5 segments of the show with this brawl, right? You had the brawl out in the ring and it took like several minutes to clear it up. And then you go to commercial, you come back for Miz TV and the brawl shows back up on Miz TV. Right, I just don't see the reason why we have to continue to use this trope. It's overdone, it's overused, and now they don't really mean anything. It just feels like filler because we don't have enough storyline to actually keep people invested, so we have to do the cheap pops. right? So speaking of Miz TV, he's supposed to have Cody out there. Cody gives the crossroads to Miz, like, at the very beginning of the segment. Now Miz TV is not happening. He says a whole bunch of nothing. There really was no purpose of having Cody out there. He's trying to carry this feud with Cena. But from a storyline perspective, you've basically given us like four straight promos of Cody Rhodes with no response from Cena. So from a storyline, the story's paused until Cena responds tomorrow. Right? And so this story hasn't really pushed since Chamber because Cena's not there, which is immediately, you know, you tried to put Cody out there to save the story and to try to push the story forward. But Cody, that's not Cody's strength, in my opinion. I'm not the biggest fan of Cody just going out there and telling promos, trying to carry the feud. We need a Cena response. And of course, we knew we were going to get one. But it almost feels like it's almost a little bit too late, in my opinion. Like, I'm going to watch Raw tomorrow solely for John Cena. But my expectations for this segment, whatever it is that Cena's going to come out and it's going to be a pretty decent segment. This is where the storyline actually can pick up, and it's 16 days post when it happened. So we've had to go 2 weeks since the turn happened with nothing in the storyline progressing, right? And I'm a progression type guy. Each episode has to progress the big storylines. And we haven't had that in 2 weeks for Cody Rhodes. Part of me wish this feels rushed, in my opinion. Like, part of me wishes Cena would have won clean. It was just Cena versus Cody at Mania. And the turn should have happened at Mania, where Cena turns by either loses the match and then The Rock comes out and then the turn happens, or at some point during the night or during the weekend or something, or even during the match itself, there was that moment where Cena snapped, where it feels like The Rock was The Rock's music could play in the middle of the match, right? And Cody feels like Rock's coming after him, and then he turns around and Cena's all stoic. And Rock does the little throat slit, and that's what wins Cena the title or something along those. I feel like the turn happened too early, and now we've had 2 weeks of, well, what the fuck's going to happen in the story, right? My next big thing is, speaking of saying nothing, you send Paul Heyman out there to literally say nothing. Well, March 14th is Roman Reigns Day. The video game's out. By the way, he'll be in Bologna, Italy next week. That's literally the whole promo in three sentences. I don't get the reason. Again, it was just a filler segment. Wasn't necessarily all that important. Okay, cool. Next Friday we'll have Roman Reigns here, and CM Punk is being rumored to be there, right? And this is where Triple H starts trying to wrap up stories, but he's got a lot of catching up to do, right? The U.S. title picture is confusing as shit. Don't know where it's headed. Definitely don't believe. Like I said this. When was it? Friday? I think it was Friday. I do believe we're only getting a 10-match WrestleMania card, and I don't think any of the mid-card titles will be on WrestleMania. I just don't. There's zero evidence of them caring enough about the mid-card titles to put them on WrestleMania. And so I think that's why the booking for it seems confusing, because it's just going to be a week-to-week thing with them. And I'm not a big fan with that. I don't know necessarily how to feel about it, but I guess it is what it is. Shinsuke's either contract's over. There's even rumors he may retire. So that's why they took the title off of them. LA Knight's just not doing it for me. I don't know. This is just one of those things where it is what it is. It's confusing to me. It's convoluted. Can we not just have a 2-month story where LA Knight has a legitimate contender who, right, fights at WrestleMania? Or just give us something compelling with this title, right? As for the Women's U.S. Championship, you had a segment where essentially Zelina Vega said she wants a shot at the title, and Chelsea Green basically said you got to go through Piper Niven to do so. If you can beat Piper Niven, you'll get a shot at my title. And this segment is what the one in the entire night that irritated me the most. This could have waited a week. You could have waited 1 week to do this promo, because they do this all the time. They schedule main card championship matches, whether it's the women's tag team championships or something like this, and they schedule them to be defended on NXT and then completely no-sell the match. Sol Ruka fights Chelsea Green on Tuesday for the Women's United States Championship. Now, I'm a rational person. I didn't expect Sol Ruka to actually win the match, but I would have loved to have the belief that, okay, Sol Ruka could win this match, and then it could lead to something further down the line, possibly at a Stand and Deliver where Chelsea Green gets a rematch against Sol Ruka or something, right? That would have been a cool match. But obviously, Chelsea Green's going to win. Zelina Vega's going to beat Piper Niven, and that's probably going to be the WrestleMania week match, probably, down the line, with Zelina Vega getting this push for this title, which I don't know if anyone actually cares about Zelina Vega enough to win this title, right? We get to the end of the show. The Street Profits win the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, which by itself, I'm excited for. They're the best tag team on the roster right now, in my opinion. They're the freshest. They have the best look, the best charisma and gimmick around them. But that's solely because outside of Fraxium and really the whole NXT tag team division, the main roster tag division is just a clusterfuck of, you know, convoluted storytelling. And it's not really storytelling, it's just convoluted booking where things are going in circles, there's brawls all the time, and nothing's really happening, right? But so what's going on? But also, like, this comes back to, like, can we stop with the random title changes on weekly television? Why not get a bigger pop with this in Vegas and let the Street Profits win, have their moment at Mania where they win back the titles, right? Again, this is what I believe Triple H does, is he tries to use these tropes where, like, oh, look, you got to watch SmackDown every Friday because you never know, a title change might happen, right? LA Knight just won back the title on a SmackDown, right? Rhea Ripley loses her title on a Raw, wins it on January 6th Raw. Tag titles switch hands all the time. There's title matches happening all the time, right? You got to watch Raw. that's the thinking. But again, like I explained a couple weeks ago, when I see this doesn't make me go, yay, I got to watch on Fridays. It makes me go, bro, this could have waited till WrestleMania, when it would have meant something more, because there's still no direction in this division. And so now I have no idea what's happening, right? Random title changes on weekly television doesn't make the show must watch. And again, it's just lazy. There's no long-term plan. So we're just going to play hot potato with this belt until something sticks. And hopefully it sticks with the Profits and we can go long-term with it. But like, there's been 3 television title changes within the last month. LA Knights, Io Sky, and now this one. And it's kind of like I don't care anymore about some of these championships, right? Because, like, the reigns aren't good. And then the storyline or storytelling behind it also is not good, if existent at all. And so, I just have a really bad problem with this style of booking, right? And so this was a house show disguised as a Friday Night SmackDown. It's a very safe episode, so that spoilers, you know, if spoilers come out, because they are airing these at like 3 p.m. on Netflix internationally, and you know, or well, it's 3 p.m. American time that they're airing internationally, and so it's one of those things where like they got to be safe as to not spoil everything, but they still got to do enough storytelling. And I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the show. The show was completely meaningless. You take this episode of Friday Night SmackDown, erase it from the history, and it doesn't change anything as far as the build to Mania. And so I'll be honest with you, I'm not at all very interested in the build towards WrestleMania. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, the build to this WrestleMania feels super flat. There's just nothing really going on. And I'm sure that'll change with Cena tomorrow. But if that's the only thing you're really putting your hope in is this one massive story, that's not WrestleMania worthy to me. And so I'll watch Mania, and I'll probably get excited for some of the things that happen. The build towards this just feels blah to me, in my opinion, right? All right, so now we've got to the point of the show where we do our react to it. And to preface this, this is a response to Junkyard James, who Friday night, I believe, put out an audio only. It's on YouTube, but it's no video. It's just audio. Like a little fifth, they call it an episode. It was like a 15-minute rant. I don't really call it an episode. I truly believe, honestly, he could have just held this in till Thursday. And had this as a monologue. This was like a segment. It was a 15-minute little mini episode. And I'm not going to play the whole 15 minutes. Go check it out if you want further context. But I'm going to play a clip that I think explains most of the gist of his argument, right? And I'm going to respond to what he said. The gist of it is essentially that he's tired of WWE fans trying to make AEW WWE light and expecting AEW's product to be similar to WWE's. And so he posted this on social media as sort of like his little trailer clip to get people to watch, his promo clip. So we're going to play this clip. It's about a minute and a half long. I'll respond to the whole episode and to the clip in general. And then we'll go ahead and get up out of here, and you guys can enjoy the rest of your Sunday. So let's play the clip real quick.
See, here's the thing that WWE fans need to hear. Expecting AEW to be a clone of WWE is like expecting some craft brewery to taste like Bud Light. See, they're in the same ballpark, that being pro wrestling, but they're playing two different games. WWE wants everyone in the stadium, but AEW wants people in the front row who know the history of every wrestler on the card. Listen to that again. WWE wants everyone in the stadium, meaning they want to fill big, massive arenas. AEW, well, they just want people who know the history of every wrestler and can figure out the story without their hands being held. And listen, guess what? That's okay. Not every promotion needs to chase mainstream notoriety. In fact, wrestling thrives when there's variety. When you've got something for casuals and something for obsessives. Both are good.
Yeah. So from a premise, excuse me. On the premise of the argument, I agree. We need variety in wrestling. But there's never been, but the premise of his argument, though, is that we want to try to change AEW. And here's the thing. No one has ever said that. And if that's what you're getting from what I'm saying, you're just not understanding what I'm saying. Because let's just be honest. He goes on in this episode and says this isn't aimed at anyone in particular. But let me tell you, this was directly aimed at me. We were in, at one point, a group chat where I was the sole WWE fan, and I posted anti-AEW stuff all the time. Some as a troll, but mostly to get conversation going. And y'all know how I think. I'm a very deep thinker. I don't thrive on small talk. I need very deep conversation to make it feel like the chat is worth being in. I'm very logical in how when I see things, right? And so I post some of these things to get conversation started as conversation pieces. And so let me just say from the jump, this whole 15 minutes, if you go and listen to it, and I suggest you listen to it to get the full context. This whole 15 minutes that I sat there and listened to him on Friday night felt like an over-exaggerated emotional meltdown, right? It felt like gatekeeping. It felt like it felt over emotional. and there's no disrespect, but I don't deal with emotion very well when it comes to arguments, because there is an objective truth that is out there in the universe. And the objective truth right now, looking at the numbers and looking at the viewership and looking at the product, objectively, removing all bias, which I feel like I'm pretty good at doing, removing all bias, AEW from a wrestling show, TV show perspective is not good programming. This whole idea that he tried to say is that AEW is not for the mainstream crowd. And I don't truly believe that's the case. I believe James wants it to feel like it's only for the sickos. Again, that's where I say gatekeeping. But I believe Tony Khan wants the mainstream notoriety. I just believe he's too much of a mark himself and too much in the way that he wants it run a particular way and things that he likes. And the things that he likes does not give you the mainstream notoriety. No one cares about your WCW or your ECW Extreme ZZW GCW style matches. The mainstream doesn't care for that. The sickos might. And the sickos are going to want to try to gatekeep that style here and say, well, it's only for us. You guys just don't understand it, right? And I truly believe, though, and I believe this because AEW continues to try to bring in B-level, C-level, D-level celebrities and make it feel like it's cool to watch AEW. But in reality, the show's cringy. It's not good. It's not of a style that a mainstream casual audience, which I've been saying for years, is the audience you need if you want to thrive in the wrestling world. Because no matter how, you know, how good the foreign, the international crowd is, no matter how deep the sickos are, and they're going to watch every show and go to every pay-per-view and comment and watch video, it doesn't matter how deep that gets, right? Unless you can become billions of people. And there are billions of people on this planet who either don't watch wrestling or watch it very casually. Until you can get those people to watch your product, you're a dying company. You're not growing. Viewership is sinking. We don't know the max numbers, so we don't know how many people are watching on max. So the TV ratings we can show are sinking from this year, this time last year. None of the optics of the company seem to be going in a good direction outside of the fact that you have a TV deal. But Warner, let's just be honest, like there's nothing going on Warner TV that's really worth watching outside of AEW in the first place. So they're going to pay to keep you because you're the only thing really driving traffic to the channels. You have a bunch of movie replays, and in the fall, they lose basketball. They'll have March Madness that'll draw some revenue. But outside of that, TBS and all of those channels don't really draw a lot of viewers unless you love watching Impractical Joker reruns or movie reruns all the time. Like, there's really nothing big happening on these channels. And so, yes, you'll pay for AEW to keep them there because they are driving some form of revenue and viewership to the channel. But ultimately, the product in the ring is and on screen is what I judge, right? I've said this whole year, I don't really care about ratings. I don't really care about the numbers and how much money you're making. I think those are good signs to whether you're thriving or not. But just objectively from the product that I see on the screen, it's cringy and glorified independent bullshit. And that doesn't, like, my whole argument is, if you don't want mainstream notoriety, why are you on TV? You're in the wrong business. Tony Khan obviously wants this. So I think from a premise standpoint, yes, competition is good and variety is good in wrestling. But obviously Tony Khan wants to be the top dog. If not, he's in the wrong fight. He should just get off of television, run monthly shows, save some budget, right? Run monthly independent show. If that's what he wants, just to do shows for the sickos, right? I don't understand the mindset of thinking that that's an acceptable way to run a business. I just don't get it. Right. And what it really boils down to, right, is his whole thing is, if you don't like it, don't watch it and stop talking. And guys, I'm sorry, James. Beyond the Junkyard, all those guys. I respect you. I respect all the IWC. I think everyone has the right to have their opinion and to say it. Whether I agree with you or not is different. We can have those conversations. But the problem is a lot of AEW wrestling fans, they don't want to have the conversations. And anytime someone critiques their product, they think it's a personal attack against them when it has nothing to do with you as a person. It has to do with the very fact that the show sucks. And if the show sucks, it sucks, but that's not a personal attack against you or even that you like the show. If you think it's good, I think you got bad taste in television, but cool, enjoy it. But objectively, removing all personal bias and emotion out of it, the TV show's not good. And they don't seem to understand that when I critique AEW, it's not from hatred. I want them to succeed. I don't hate them as a company. I think Tony Khan's a bad booker. And I've even said numerous times, I want it to do good. So Tony needs to get out of the way because he's the problem. And if he hired someone that understood the business and wasn't just a money mark, I believe that WWE and AEW could both be thriving right now. But I think Tony Khan's what's standing in the way. Right? So it doesn't come from hatred. It just comes from objectivity in the product. That what I see, and guys, what I see on Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown is not good TV either. Objectively. I think both need to work on their booking. I think booking in both companies right now, outside of NXT, I think both could really use some work. And I thoroughly mean that. I think both could use some work on their storytelling and their booking. Right? I'm not, like, I watched WWE's product on Friday, and I went back and watched it from SmackDown, and it just wasn't worth my time to actually watch it live. I'm kind of glad it was pre-taped. I read the spoilers, watched the clips that were on Twitter, and I had 3 hours at the end of my night that I could do whatever I want because I didn't watch it live. Right? I just don't understand why someone critiquing something that you like affects you that much to where you have to say, well, just stop. I'm tired of all the negativity. Well, welcome to the real world. Not everyone's going to be kumbaya about AEW, but it feels like with AEW fans, anytime you critique their product, they take it personally. This is not a personal attack against James. It's not a personal attack against Cody or any other AEW fan. This is an objective statement based on the evidence from viewership, from what I'm seeing on Twitter, people being disappointed, from history itself. This company running the way it's running right now is not good. It was good in the past, even using, you know, the standard of past AEW. Are you going to sit here and tell me that current AEW is better than the past couple years? Like 2021 AEW was pretty good. Some pretty good product, right? I just feel that that something has changed in the company, right? And ultimately, I think what happened was losing Cody Rhodes was big. I think Punk in that whole situation was big. And I think that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that I'm not privy to information, and other people aren't privy to information. And so this is just an assumption. I don't necessarily think that everyone that works for AEW wants to be there. I think they look at it as a chance to make money. And I think Tony Khan doesn't know what he's doing. That's an opinion based on what I'm seeing. But objectively, you can't sit here and tell me that the product you watch on Wednesdays and on Saturdays are objectively great. It's just not. You have three people right now in Mercedes Moné, Adam Copeland, and John Moxley who all have complete creative control, who obviously aren't going to make themselves lose. And so you're sort of held captive to these money marks. There'll be these people who are marks for themselves. And Tony's doesn't have balls big enough to be a boss and say, y'all, fuck all that. Y'all are going to lose. And we're going to do something that benefits the company. He doesn't do that. Right? I don't really know what else to say about this. I don't. I think it's kind of, I don't understand why, I guess what this really comes down to and why I did this as a react to that is this idea that if you don't have anything positive to say about the product, don't talk about it, is absolutely insane. First off, I talk about AEW because it's part of wrestling and this is a wrestling podcast. But second, I talk about AEW because I do a wrestling podcast, right? And not everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows, right? Same thing with why I critique WWE. This isn't to be edgy. This isn't to be, you know, the outcast who, you know, has to always disagree with everyone. I just have my opinions. That's what this is for. I talk negative about AEW because the product is negative. And if they gave me something positive to talk about, us. I'm 100% certain Tony Khan would want that. But the current product he has will not allow it. And so your justification for this, well, it's just for the sickos, you won't understand. No, no. Try booking for the people who aren't the sickos. And you don't have to be a copy. No one's ever said to completely copy and paste WWE. But you've started to do certain things that are just like WWE. You have LED boards on the ring and some of your camera work. You've even started doing the camera shot of people coming through the where the camera's behind them as they're walking through Gorilla. You started to do some of this WWE production because you see that. Look, and that's the point. Use that. You don't have to be a WWE, copy paste repeat. But if there's things that fans like, why would you not use them? If there's a thing that works, why would you not do it? I'm not sitting here and saying you have to be WWE. Sure, there is difference in the product and variety is great. But obviously whatever WWE for the most part does works. So why would you not use that formula? And then to sit here expecting AEW is expecting a craft brewery, right? And I get the, you know what's crazy is, have you ever been to like a craft brewery or these snobby ass, stuck up ass motherfuckers who drink IPAs? Oh, I would never drink Bud Light. That's for poor people. I drink the $6,000 IPA. I'm using hyperbole. I'm over-exaggerating. IPAs are fucking gross, by the way. These motherfuckers who think that they're some better than us who sit down here and prefer to drink. I prefer Yingling if I'm drinking beer, to be honest with you. But, like, oh, I drink Weed Whacker, whatever the, they have, all these IPAs have weird fucking names. I drink Zombie Head, or what? I'm just making up shit because that's what whoever puts the names on the can apparently did. But and they think they're better because they drink y'all drinking some nasty ass shit. That's what you drink, and you're paying a lot of fucking money to drink some nasty ass shit. But everyone who drinks like craft premium beer, like, and they look down at you got a Bud Light, you're gross. Now, I don't drink Bud Light. I do think Bud Light is kind of gross, but my point of it is you're using, I don't know if you think the argument is, right, Bud Light sells for a particular reason, right? And I don't think AEW and WWE are as separate of products as an IPA versus Bud Light is. Like, those are two very different products. At the end of the day, they're both TV shows. And I just don't understand why there's gatekeeping. Sure. Right, I feel like this is like a whole bunch of nerds, and not just James. We're going to go past James's response, but because there's a lot of people who are like this on the internet as well, in the IWC, who go, if you don't watch it, you can't stop critiquing my favorite thing. And they make it their, again, I've said this numerous times already, they make it a personal thing. It's not personal against you guys. The product's not good. It's not entertaining. I don't want you to be WWE. I don't. The funny thing is I feel like you are what WWE was in that dark period before Vince McMahon left, like 2016 to 2019, was a very dark period of WWE. It was awful television week in and week out. Many people left watching wrestling because of it. And it's the reason that I believe AEW had a popularity in 2019 and 2020. They were doing some interesting things. They were an actual alternative, I believe, at that point. But I think at some point they lost their way and they just became the convoluted bullshit that 2016 to 2019 WWE was. A bunch of throwing shit at the wall, hoping it sticks. I don't want you to be a copy of AEW. I want you to feel fresh. I don't know where this perspective comes at. Like, I don't want you to go away. I think if you continue to do what you're doing, I don't think you last very long. That doesn't mean that I want you to die as a company, right? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't. And so I ain't got much more to say. So I'm not running this. I'm not trying to run my reasoning around another circle. So we'll end the show there. Let me know what you all think in the comments. Like, share, subscribe. Thank you all for watching. Let me know what you thought. And I will see you on Tuesday with me and DJ Wavy D right here on the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Keep calm and remember, slap that meat.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.